This morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. We'll read verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, as we've said most recently, we will be reading in the Gospel of Matthew for quite some time. Through the summer and into the fall, we'll get all the way to Advent, which begins a Sunday after Thanksgiving. So, we're going to be in this Gospel for quite some time, so we'll go over here at the beginning some foundational things to know and remember about Matthew. Matthew was not the first gospel that was written. That would have been Mark. And Matthew, when he sat down to write his gospel, would have had the gospel of Mark in front of him and used that as sort of a template, and had some other things that Matthew knew about, like the sayings of Jesus. We call that Q. And he would have had some other things as well. And so when Matthew sits down to write his gospel, he changes Mark a little bit. Verse 9 that we didn't read to has Jesus saying, "Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts." That's a change that Matthew made from Mark. When Mark has Jesus telling the story, he doesn't mention gold or silver or copper. He just says money in general. For some reason, Matthew thought it was important to add that detail. And so these are little things that we like to look at and focus on to see what Matthew might have been trying to tell his audience and us. The other thing that we like to communicate about Matthew is sometimes we call Matthew the Jewish gospel. Okay, this is because Matthew's community was made up primarily, it seems, of more Jewish converts than some of the other communities that their gospels were written to. As having this foundation in Judaism, Matthew doesn't need to specify certain things. There's a lot of things that Matthew just writes and doesn't explain because he knows that his people will understand the importance of it. We get one such thing in this passage that we read. Jesus is described as looking out on the people and having compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, in the Jewish faith, you might think back to the Old Testament and some things that you've heard before. Have you heard of someone being described as a shepherd in the Old Testament? Maybe that was too broad of a question. Have you heard of Psalm 23 before? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, okay, yeah. So you guys you're following along and getting it too, right? This would have been an image that these folks knew deeply. The Lord is my shepherd. The prophet Isaiah also talks about looking out on the people and seeing them being helpless like sheep without a shepherd, because the high priest The kings and the leaders were supposed to be watching over them and guarding them like shepherds, and seemed to have abandoned them. When Jesus is described as feeling these things for the people, Matthew knows that those hearing his gospel will know these things. And so in our scripture today, we can kind of think of those things and keep them in mind as we get into the scripture. Jesus, by this point in chapter 9, has already laid the foundation of his ministry. As Matthew tells the story, there's a beautiful Sermon on the Mount, which is like three chapters long. Jesus is teaching and preaching, telling his followers what he expects them to do, how he expects them to live. He's been going about healing and casting out demons, healing lepers and those who are sick. Those demons and evil spirits he's casting out. And now he comes to this place after he's done this ministry and taught and preached and shared. It's this transitional period. We read last week that the Pharisees are mentioned for the very first time. He's gotten big enough that the Pharisees are starting to pay attention to him. He's getting some pushback from the leaders for all the things that he's saying. And so Jesus looks around, seems to me like he takes this deep breath. He's gone and gone and preached and healed and cast out demons. And finally he looks up and sees everyone who has gathered, these large crowds that are following him, and has this deep compassion for them. And he's moved to do something about it. That mercy that he spoke of in our passage last Sunday fills Jesus. That compassion and hurt and pain for those crowds. There's this harvest that is plentiful. Lots of hurting people, but only one of me. So few laborers. Now there's another important thing that we have to keep in mind about the Gospel of Matthew. Because when Matthew is writing, he's writing to this group of followers of Jesus who want to know what Jesus has to teach them and tell them and instruct them about their life. Hopefully that sounds familiar. Hopefully you're someone that's curious about what Jesus might have to say about your life today. How's that sound? Are we looking for that? Is that why we decided to come here on a Sunday morning? So, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy recently. Have you ever watched Grey's Anatomy? There's this thing that Grey's Anatomy does, right? So it's a show about doctors. And they've got these storylines and all the things that the doctors are doing and their interpersonal relationships and everything. And so there's a storyline there. And then there'll be like a patient or somebody that gets sick or needs some heart transplants or something. And they go about through there. And then there's always a big scene at the end, right? Where the doctor is saying something to the patient. There's some life lesson that's being shared with. And it always seems like the doctor is specifically talking to the patient. But you realize if you're paying attention that what the doctor is saying to the patient is what the resident needs to hear based on the story that they've shared throughout the whole thing. So the doctor's talking to the patient, but really the doctor's talking to the resident and the person next to him, right? Jesus and Matthew is talking to the disciples. He gives these instructions to those 12 that are listed there. But really, he's talking to us. And Matthew's very clear about this. Like, it's not a hidden thing. I don't think I gave some new thing about Grey's Anatomy. Like, that's the point of what they're doing. And speaking to the audience as well. Matthew does that. When Jesus is speaking to the disciples are us. Are all of us as his followers. Matthew, through Jesus, is speaking to his audience and his communication, his congregation, and speaking to us as well. Those instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples are instructions for us. Go to these places. Don't go to those places. Go to these lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, one thing to remember, again, Jesus was Jewish. Matthew, when this congregation of Jewish believers has Jesus beginning his ministry in these chapters specifically focused on Israel and those who are not Gentiles. It's later in the gospel that Jesus will broaden his ministry to others and send his disciples to the whole world. But at the beginning, he sends his disciples just there. And he gives them these instructions: preach and proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is a political statement. The kingdom of God has come near. What kingdom were they living in and under at that time? The Romans. The kingdom of Rome and the Roman kingdom was who they lived under. Jesus is telling them to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Those Romans are going to leave soon. We're not going to be under their authority for much longer. God's kingdom, this kingdom of heaven, is coming near. And as proof of that, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Make a big show of it. All of the hurting that you see around you and that hurting that's come from those Romans, heal it. Bring those people together and through community. All throughout this gospel, that healing that Jesus provides is not only that physical healing, but it's the healing of the community. The woman from last week that was bleeding for so long, she now gets to be a part of the community again because her body is healed. The young girl, yes, she's raised from the dead. That's good, but she gets to be a part of the community once again. Jesus sends his disciples out, and we as his followers too are sent out to heal the body, but bring restoration also to the community. But I like and want to focus on this verse 36, this compassion that Jesus has. He takes that breath, he takes that pause and looks and sees all of the problems. And it's his compassion that changes and morphs that overwhelming sense of doom and dread from all of the issues and the problems that begins to formulate that possible solution to send these disciples out. Because there's still a lot of problems. This is my confession time. I've been trying to do better about not being on my phone all the time. Because when I'm on my phone, I'm on social media. And when I'm on social media, I see all the problems that are out there. All the problems with the government. All the problems with the environment. And the things the government's doing to the environment. And all the ways that the student loans that I have are messed up. And all the ways that we've bundled the World Cup and the elections. Oh my gosh, have you seen all the stuff about the elections? And all the litigation and there's just problems all the time. And I get overwhelmed. Somebody mentioned it as waking up to chaos. More and more chaos every day. And I feel like Jesus, who looks up and just, so many problems. And the problem with social media is that they want you to feel overwhelmed. The news wants you to be overwhelmed. Because then you keep doing what I'm doing and watching and clicking, and they make money from ads that I have to watch. And there's no solutions to any of it. It's just problem after problem after problem. And it's overwhelming. And I think the solution is here that Jesus does. He has compassion for them. And that compassion is what moves him to send the disciples out. He wants to fix the problem, but he recognizes that he's only one. All of the sick and all of the hungry and all of the demon-possessed. And he's only one. So he calls these disciples together and he gives them the authority to do the things that he's done. He's called us and given us the authority to do the things that he's done. And it's through that compassion. So what I'm trying to do is, one, turn it off so I don't consume it all the time. But I'm trying to find those places where the compassion grows. And I had to ask in Sunday school. And Mary has a bunch of good compassion-filled things to do. There's the community closet. It used to be called Double Blessings. Have y'all heard Mary talk about community closet? If you haven't, or if you're not already aware of them, get aware of them. This is a group of women who are helping one another and helping the community down in Nicholasville. It's awesome. We've talked before about the food pantry. Folks can come by and we'll give them a sack of food. We've got all of our hospice families that we send a sack of food once a month. All of the hunger and issues and problems that we see, this is a way and a place where our compassion has grown into these solutions. And there's many others. I invite you this afternoon when we sit around at our potluck to share with one another. Maybe I'm the only one that gets overwhelmed by the news. Am I just talking to myself here? Are there places that we see so much hurt and so much despair? But I also know that there are places like the community closet, like our food pantry, like the work that Prodigy does, that are good places where that compassion grows and builds. And we need to hear those just as much as we hear all the problems. So I invite you to share with one another. Come find me and tell me about them, because I'm tired. We've got to be like Jesus and let that compassion and that mercy push back the overwhelming dread that's bombarded on us each and every day. The harvest is plentiful. There are few of us laborers, but there are more and more every day when we share that mercy and that compassion. So let us answer the Lord's call to be sent out to do some of that harvest. Amen.